Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We've been wanting to talk to Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter, and he's the lead content strategist at the Monday Morning Quarterback site, obviously, Sports Illustrated, a variety of things he's involved with. And Albert, the first thing that Atlanta Falcon fans want to know, and I want to start here with you, and thank you for joining us. I hope you and your family are doing well. Everybody's talking about us making a move. What are you hearing? Are the Falcons going to move up in this draft?
Here's what I tell you. I'd say, like, Thomas Dimitroff's always sort of been aggressive about asking about these sorts of things and aggressive about exploring his options. And, you know, they're one of three teams, I think, sitting right there in the teens that could be looking at a move up. And I think Tampa at 14 and Denver at 15, those guys are also in there. And I think part of it is that you've got sort of an elite class to this year's group where, you know, I think you have four elite defensive players, Nokuda, Chase Young, Isaiah Simmons and Derrick Brown. You got the four tackles, you got the three quarterbacks. And so the draft's strong at the top, and you know, I think the other two teams are probably looking for offensive linemen, and the Falcons, I would say, would probably be trying to go and get themselves a defensive difference maker. And so, you know, I can tell you, like, with certainty that the Falcons are going to explore it. But we've seen them explore it in the past. Whether or not they pull it off, we'll see.
Yeah, we got our needs. We think that this team, and by the way, Albert, we did it in 16, so we think we can do it again. But how likely is it? Finding three starters in this draft, Quinn and Dimitroff together.
Yeah, and I think that's obviously the model where, you know, you go and you get, I believe it was Austin Hooper, Deion Jones, Devondre Campbell, right? Were in that draft? Were they all in that group?
Right. And Deion, yeah.
Yep. And so, I think there's certainly a possibility, you know, that you look at a draft that's got strength at the top, you know, so you're going to be able to find an immediate contributor there. And then there are certain positions that are extraordinarily deep. So, you know, if you're looking for an offensive tackle, there are probably eight really, really good ones that could last, you know, to maybe around 40. Receivers, you're going into the second or third round with depth. Corners, there's a top group that probably lasts in the middle of the second round of seven or eight guys. And so, you know, I think if you do your job, you probably wind up with starters in the first two rounds and then maybe get lucky somewhere else. You know, and so the idea of coming out of it with three starters isn't out of whack for anybody who's interested in the first half of the first round. And I know the Falcons are sort of right on the edge there, but I certainly think that this is the sort of year where you can come away with multiple impact players because a couple of the positions are really, really deep.
Senior NFL reporter Albert Breer joining us here on Dukes and Bell. What do you make of the Tua Dolphin situation? Justin Herbert, we really like him. We've done our work. What's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, everything that I've gotten, and look, like, you know, the Dolphins aren't going to tip their hand, but, you know, what you hear from other teams at this point is that, you know, the Dolphins may not be all in on Tua. They've done all the homework, and that's the thing. Like, you know, that can lead you down either way. But, you know, if you look at the amount of homework they've done on Tua, the owner, the GM were at the LSU-Alabama game. The owner, the team president, and the GM were at the bowl game, and Tua didn't even play. And so they were there just to kind of investigate on him. And so they've done an enormous amount of work on Herbert. And I do think they wind up taking one. The more you talk to people, the more there's a belief around the league right now that it might be Justin Herbert over Tua Tagovailoa, which I don't think very many people would have predicted 2 or 3 months ago. But when you consider all the injury history and the risk that's associated with that, and you look at the history at that position of guys who come into the league with injury history, you can certainly understand why, you know, they may look at it and say that Justin Herbert's just a safer play right now.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because we just said it earlier. Albert Breer joins us, guys, from SI, now in charge of Monday Morning Quarterback. We're just, I mean, not to be provincial, but I saw him win with his legs in that Rose Bowl. I'm still not sold. And then there's also guys like Jordan Love out there, and we brought this up earlier in the show. Meanwhile, you got a guy like Jalen Hurts who's been there and done that, and he's, like, projected as a third rounder.
Yeah, and I think you're talking about different levels, too. I mean, you've got the three guys at the top, and obviously Burrow, I think, is sort of a separate conversation now because, you know, the assumption at least is that he'll be a Bengal. But Tua and Herbert, who I think will be the other two in that top three, those two guys do carry significant risk. You know, with Herbert, you know, you're projecting some stuff. And, a lot of people said the reason why he did produce more at Oregon with the offense. Well, you know, that's still means you're projecting him to do better when the circumstances around him are a little different, and that can be tough to do. Obviously, with Tua, there's a ton of production, but he was in a great situation at Alabama, and there's the injury history. And then Jordan Love, it just depends who you talk to. The tape was not very good last year. Jalen Hurts, you know, there's questions about, you know, how accurate he is as a quarterback. This is a guy who, remember, like, when Alabama had to throw a couple of years ago, they were taking him out of the game and putting Tua in as a true freshman at points. And so, you know, I think that there are questions with a lot of these guys. And there's another element to this, two guys where if you're one of these teams near the top, and this is a sort of deal where you can't do the 30 visits, you can't do the private workouts, you can't do all that stuff, you're one of these teams at the top and you can tread water for a year at that position, you might choose to do it because, you know, you look down the pike next year, Trevor Lawrence is going to be coming out, Justin Fields from Ohio State could be coming out, and, you know, you're always going to have guys that are going to sort of emerge from the woodwork the way that Baker Mayfield did two years ago, the way Kyler Murray did last year, and the way that Joe Burrow did this year. So, there could be some merit for some teams to wait.
Albert, you did a piece last July about the quarterbacks and the ones to look out for, and you included Jake Fromm in that. A lot of Georgia fans obviously are looking at this, and, you know, guys like Andrew Thomas, you know, D. Swift, the running back. We're going to have some guys that we're familiar with that played at Georgia that are going to be high picks. Where do you see Jake Fromm? Because you wrote a great piece last July talking about all these quarterbacks that we would see in this year's draft.
Jake Fromm's interesting because, I mean, the perception at least has been that he's very average physically, right? I would say, you know, most people love the kid. They see a guy who can handle a lot of volume. He can put a lot on his plate. He's tough as nails. His teammates love him. And I think one of the things that's really interesting about him is who he beat out. You know what I mean? Like, he beat out Jacob Eason, who was an incumbent starter, who was a top recruit. Then Justin Fields comes in when he's a sophomore. He holds off Justin Fields. Both those guys, who I don't think it's arguable, both those guys who have first-round physical ability, I mean, he put both those guys in the transfer portal. You know what I mean? Like, so
right.
I think there is, you know, some intrigue with him. When you look at him and you see the makeup, and the makeup is off the charts, you know, the question is how much he can improve physically. And so the kinds of things I'm hearing when I ask teams about him, Colt McCoy, Chase Daniel, it's, you know, guys who have long NFL careers but never quite had enough physically to become established starters. So I think a lot of teams see Jake Fromm that way, that he's going to play in the league for a long time, you know, one way or the other. The question is, you know, how much you think he can grow physically. And, you know, I think that's where all the doubts are, is where the physical ability is.
It is Albert Breer with us, guys, on Dukes and Bell here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Albert, of course, from SI.com. All right, so we'll get away from the quarterbacks and everybody else, but, man, Chase Young. We kind of, like, we've got guys we could draft as defensive ends, but it seems like Chase is at such on another level. If you can't get Chase, it's like you're playing for, like, table scraps.
Yeah, and it's, like, I I mean, look, like physically, he's sort of in that. Julius Peppers, Mario Williams, Jadeveon Clowney. Like, you know what it looks like when you see it. You know what I mean? Like, there's just certain guys that just look different. And like with Chase, it's really manifested on the field. And, you know, there's still room to grow. I mean, he's 16.5 sacks despite missing two games last year at Ohio State. And you still look at him and say there could be more growth here. You know, so, and he's coming from the same system that, you know, Nick Bosa and Joey Bosa came from. And so, you know, you get the schooling of Larry Johnson coming with him. And so I think he's a fairly easy pick for the Redskins. Part of the reason why, you know, they kicked around the idea of Tua was because, A, they wanted to make sure they weren't passing on Michael Jordan. And B, like, if there were teams that were interested in coming up, they wanted to sort of smoke out some of that interest. And they want to make sure, like, A, they knew what they were passing on, and B, they knew the value of the pick. But ultimately, I think they look at Chase Young as the sort of guy who can come in and charge the defensive line. And it's not unlike what happened with Nick Bosa last year. If you look at it, Nick Bosa in a defensive line room and had 4 first-round picks last year in Solomon Thomas, Eric Armstead, Forrest Buckner, and Dee Ford. Chase Young, if he goes to Washington, he'll be doing the same thing. He'll be going to the defensive line room that has Montez Sweat, Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, and Ryan Kerrigan. And so I think there's sort of that potential there where you plug Chase Young into a group that's already pretty talented, and you just watch him go.
Yeah, that's a great point, Albert. Man, we really appreciate you jumping on with us. It's going to be fun to see the draft.
Where are you going to be?
Yeah, how hard has this been for you for what you do every day? Has it just been on the phone and doing, you know, working the contacts?
Yeah, I mean, there's certain stuff that, like, you know, I probably would have gone to Tua's pro day. Obviously, that didn't happen. You know, so it's changed a little bit from that standpoint, but so much of my job this time of year is over the phone anyway. But it's actually been kind of fine. I mean, I think it took a little longer this year for the rumor mill to get spinning because guys aren't gossiping at pro days with each other and, you know, words not circulating quite the same way it did. But I'll tell you this, gossip will find a way. People will still talk. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what barriers are in the way. And so you're starting to hear some of the stuff again. I'm fascinated to see what this looks like in a week. It's hard to believe we're almost there.
Albert Breer, take care, be safe. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you again.
All right, stay safe, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.